Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. This is the Accessible Technology Webinar Series. I'm Janet Peters. I'm a project coordinator with the Great Lakes ADA Center. The Accessible Technology Webinar Series is sponsored by both the Great Lakes ADA Center and the Pacific ADA Center. Both centers are members of the ADA National Network. The ADA National Network is comprised of 10 regional centers and is funded by the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research. A couple of housekeeping items before we jump into our session this afternoon. If you downloaded the handouts ahead of time, they have extensive instructions on how to interact with the webinar platform. So we always recommend that you download from ada-audio.org the handouts for the sessions you are registered for. This session is being recorded and will be available to you on the Accessible Technology webinar site. This session does have real-time captioning available, and you may access the captioning from the main window in the audio section with the CC icon, from the main menu window, show closed captioning, or by selecting Control F8. Within the captioning window, you can control the font, the size, and placement features of the captioning window. If you are experiencing technical difficulties, you can call 1-877-232-1990 or email us at webinar@adaaudio.org. If you are joining us via the telephone today, you may email your questions to the webinar at adaaudio.org. The session today is on we need to get to the slide. I'm going to get to the title slide. Our session today is being recorded and is available for you on the archive session. It is Android is Accessible, and Anna G is our speaker. And we're very pleased to have Anna with us today. Anna is known as Access Anna. She has been using Android since July 2010. Her first phone was a Motorola Droid during running Android 2.0. Since then, she has worked with most versions of the operating system. She hosted her first accessible Android blog from August 2010 to September 2011 to help eyes-free users get the most out of their early Android devices. Most recently, she started using a new version of the blog to discuss very different approach to accessibility found in Android today. She is one of the co-hosts of the That Android Show, a monthly podcast about Android and accessibility, which is produced by Serotech Network. And she has been a guest on other podcasts, including Eyes on Success and Access World, where she has talked about Android accessibility. She has been invited to Google I.O. Yearly Developer Conference hosted by Google for her work promoting the Android as a viable option for people who are blind or low vision. And with that, I will turn it over to Anna, and then we will do questions. When she deems questions, you can type your questions into the chat area, or if you're accessing by the phone bridge, by the email address that was given. And with Anna, Anna, I will turn it over to you. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everybody. Because I'm having some technical difficulties, I'm going to ask Janet to advance the slides as we get to them. All right, so today's talk is Android is Accessible, Really? Accessibility for the Android Operating System for Blind and Low Vision Users. And the reason I chose this topic is that there's a lot of discussion about whether Android is accessible. And there have been some well-known blog posts by people who are respected within the community who say Android isn't accessible. The reality is that it is. It's just a little different. And so the purpose of this talk is to explain how Android accessibility works. So let's move on to this next slide. Things to know about Android accessibility. And you can think of these as the three takeaway points. the things to keep in mind when considering Android and when coming over to Android, especially from another operating system. So accessibility services handle the basics. So they're part of the operating system, but they're not quite apps. They're apps that go into the system, and they really dig deep inside and utilize system resources. I'll go into specifics in a little bit. The second thing is that third-party apps handle additional features. So if we're used to, say, a Windows screen reader like JAWS, we know that it's a great screen reader, and it has a lot of bells and whistles. And some of those bells and whistles are technically not really needed for accessibility, things like, some of the research features. So they're handy and they're useful, but they're not technically all that essential to accessibility. In Android, these kinds of things are completely separate. So developers or individuals with programming skills have the ability to add some of these additional features. So they're not part of the, say, screen reader. And the third point is that Google's approach to most things is different, and accessibility is no exception. So if you keep these three things in mind, then you know you're going to realize that the Android experience is a little outside the box. So again, the accessibility services handle the basics, additional apps handle additional features, and Google's approach is just a little wild and crazy. So let's move on to the next slide. So early Android. Now, when people think of Android as a platform that is not accessible, they're probably thinking of early Android. And early Android was actually pretty accessible and pretty usable. I was using it full-time as my smartphone, and I used it for work. So I was able to text and use maps and so on. So it was actually very usable. But you did have to have an adventurous spirit, because it involved some workaround and some trial and error. So I'm going to go through a little bit of Android history. And the first bit is this section, early Android. And so I'll talk about what accessibility was like in the early days. And so Android started as an operating system in version 1.5, and there was no accessibility there. By the way, Android codenames its Android versions as desserts. So 1.5 was cupcake. And it also goes alphabetically. So the first version to include accessibility was 1.6, and it was donut. It makes me hungry. and so what we had was TalkBack, which was a very basic screen reader. And what TalkBack did in 1.6 and other early versions of Android is it, as you arrowed over the screen, it told you what you were arrowing past, basically. You couldn't really get it to repeat. If you needed to repeat something, you had to arrow away and then come back. Then we had some accessibility improvements, from 1.6 to 3.0, you needed a device that had a hardware keyboard and hardware arrow keys. So you needed to be able to arrow around to so that TalkBack could read what you were going past. And that was pretty much it. And just in case you're curious, 1.6 was a donut, 2.0 was eclair, and then 2.1 frozen yogurt, 2.3 was gingerbread, and 3.0 was honeycomb. So we have all these desserts going on. Now the next accessibility improvement was in 3.0, that's honeycomb. And at that point we were finally able to access web views. In early Android, web views were not accessible, so a lot of apps were not really usable because the main information was presented in a web view. So a lot of dictionary apps, you could type in the word and hit search, but the definition or the result would come up in a web view. And then you could save it and forward it and blah, blah. And so an example of a workaround would be I could text the definition to myself. And so while I couldn't read it in the app itself because the information was presented in a web view, I could read it in my text messaging app when it arrived as a message. So again, early Android involved some ingenuity and some trial and error, but it was quite usable. So 3.0 Honeycomb was the version that gave us access to web views, and that was a big deal. So suddenly, you know, a lot of apps became accessible. Now, 4.0, which was Ice Cream Sandwich, had a very important accessibility improvement, and that was that we could finally start using the screen. Actually, probably the first and most notable improvement was that we could start accessibility on our own. In the past, we needed sighted help to do that. And in 4.0, we had a gesture, and it was a very controversial gesture. We had to draw a rectangle around the screen, and it had to be positioned just so, and it took a couple of attempts, but it worked, and it actually worked quite well. Some people had trouble with it, but anyway, the important thing is that we could start accessibility on our own independently without sighted help. We could actually start interacting with the screen now. We could touch the screen. We didn't need a joystick anymore. And TalkBack would tell us whatever it was we were touching. We also could use a keyboard, an on-screen keyboard. Now, we couldn't use any on-screen keyboard. It had to be one developed by the Google Accessibility team. And this on-screen keyboard also had a virtual D-pad. So we didn't need a physical D-pad, but we couldn't, say, swipe through an edit field, and we couldn't move our finger through an edit field to, say, read line by line, but we could use this virtual D-pad. All right. So touching the screen, we call that touch exploration in TalkBack, in Android, rather. And a lot of the stock apps in Google became more accessible. More buttons were labeled. Information was presented in a more blind-friendly way. And this actually brings me to another point. Some of the improvements to accessibility happen in the accessibility API, but others happen in other apps or in accessibility services. So when I talk about improvements to TalkBack accessibility, sometimes I'm referring to changes in the operating system, sometimes changes to individual apps, sometimes changes to accessibility services, sometimes to a combination of the three. Maybe an API change gives the accessibility service more a better ability to do something, and an app is improved, which benefits from both. So with Android, it's not like you make an improvement to JAWS and that everything hinges on JAWS. In Android, everything works together. All right, so let's move on to the next slide, newer Android. Modern Android begins with version 4.1. And so if you're going to go Android, this is where you want to start. You don't want to get anything earlier than 4.1. By the way, 4.1, 4.2, and 4.3 are called Jelly Bean. Okay. So the improvements to 4.1 were a simpler accessibility gesture on startup. So we no longer have this rectangle, which would put some people into just spasms of rage and despair. Now we have, if you simply power up the device and you hold two fingers on the screen, and after a few seconds the device will tell you to keep your fingers where they are if you want to start accessibility, and then you go through an accessibility wizard, so you'll start TalkBack and you'll set the language for the tutorial, and then you'll learn to use Android gestures. So that's very easy. And just as a caveat, this you can only start accessibility if you're on the actual configuration screen. If somebody has configured the phone for you or the tablet for you, you need to you're going to need sighted help. All right. So another improvement in 4.1 is accessibility focus. In the past, TalkBack knew what to speak because you were arrowing over it or you were touching it. Now we have an extra layer between my finger touching the screen and what TalkBack knows, and this is the accessibility layer. So I can explore the screen and actually touch the icon like before, or I can swipe. I can just move my finger rapidly across the screen. This gesture is called flicking in iOS, and in Android we call it swiping. And so you can swipe to go from icon to icon, and this is comparable to pressing tab on a computer keyboard. And so this is really important because you have the option of exploring or swiping. If the developer has done a good job and made his app swipeable, you can do that. But you can also explore. And I think that as a rule, Android users tend to like exploring. We swipe as well, but we also like exploring. We think it's a cool thing. And so this sometimes makes new users a little crazy. Okay. Braille support was introduced in 4.1, and I'll talk about how that works. It's still a little bit of a work in progress, but we've had it since 4.1. The ability to change granularity outside of edit fields. Now, in the past, we could, as we're typing, we could arrow over something, you know, the characters of the words we're typing. But we couldn't really do that outside an edit field. So if you're, you know, exploring or swiping over your home screen and you hear the name of an app and you're not quite sure what it's saying, you don't know if it's saying Fastbook or Facebook, then you know, you really couldn't do much about it before. Now you could change granularity, which means your reading level, and you can read that by character to find out that it says F-A-C-E-B-O-O-K. And so you're sure you know what it's saying. Now, as a 4.1, we can also use the standard Google keyboard. So we don't need a special on-screen keyboard. The Google keyboard itself is accessible. In early versions, we couldn't use special characters like accents very well, actually at all. And so, but we actually can use a standard keyboard. And since developers, since this keyboard is open source and other developers can use that basic template to develop something else, other mainstream keyboards became accessible, the ones that were based on the Google keyboard. Finally, in 4.1, we had, I would say, the last of the major improvements to stock apps. So Gmail works better, email works better, calendar, etc. Now in 4.2, also Jelly Bean, we had what's called an accessibility shortcut on the power screen. And so what that is you can go into the accessibility settings and check a box to enable this shortcut. And when it's enabled, if somebody comes along and turns off your TalkBack, maybe you live with a sighted spouse, your sighted family member, and TalkBack drives your sighted partner nuts. Your partner can turn off TalkBack, use the phone, blah blah blah. And if he or she forgets to turn TalkBack back on, you can place two fingers on the screen and TalkBack will start talking. So that's a very nice, you know, safety net in case our phone gets, our accessibility gets turned off. In 4.2, we also had font adjustments for low vision users and triple tap for magnification. So that was introduced in 4.2. It was actually introduced earlier as a feature in TalkBack, but it didn't stay around. It was in a TalkBack beta and then it disappeared. But in 4.2, it actually became part of the operating system. We have improvements to voice input. Prior to 4.2, if we were speaking into the phone using dictation or if we were using voice commands, TalkBack would speak at the same time that we were speaking, so you needed to cover up the speaker or turn the volume down. But now things work correctly most of the time. And we had a return of single tap mode. Now, some of us, I'm one of them, really get annoyed with double tapping. So in 4.1, with the accessibility focus, we had the ability to swipe to an icon and double tap anywhere on the screen, which is a system similar to what the iOS crowd uses. But I've been typing way too many years and my wrist is a little sensitive, so I find double tapping really annoying, especially by the end of the day. And so now you can swipe or explore to an icon either way and then tap directly on it and just once. And I really like that. I know that that's one of those things that some diehard Android users really like as well. Okay, so now we're on to 4.3, which is the last of the jelly beans. And we have one improvement that I in particular really like, and that is text selection within edit fields. So before 4.3, the only way to select text in edit fields while you were typing was by using a hardware keyboard. You could plug a hardware keyboard or use a Bluetooth keyboard into your device so that you could type. And you could use the same commands we're familiar with from Windows, basically, Control or Alt plus Shift to select. TalkBack doesn't really give you any feedback, but as experienced typists, we know how to get there and select the text and delete it or cut it or whatever with Control plus X or Control plus C for copy and Control plus V for paste. But now we can do this on screen, and we can select text by going into the local context menu, starting selection, and moving focus to somewhere else, and then carrying out some sort of editing task like copy and paste within the local context menu. And so we can only do that in edit fields. We still cannot do that outside of edit fields. So we can't read an article in the paper and cut a paragraph and for pasting somewhere else. We're still not able to do that. In 4.3, a lot of people got excited because one of the improvements that TalkBack offers is button labeling. So if you're using an app where the developer doesn't label the buttons and you've contacted the developer a couple of times and they still haven't gotten around to it, you can label the buttons yourself. You cannot share the labels. You can only use the labels or delete the labels on the buttons. And we had more improvements to web views. Now, web views became accessible in one of the Honeycomb versions. And they just improve gradually over time. They get more and more stable. And so in 4.3, they improved a lot. They used to tend to crash and hang and do strange things. And by 4.3, they're working pretty well. And they used in earlier versions to make web views accessible, we had to go into accessibility settings and check a box. And so sometimes if people were just having too many problems using web views, they would uncheck that box and not deal with it. Now the WebView checkbox has disappeared, so the web scripts that are needed to make them work have obviously been incorporated into the system itself, which is a nice improvement. It's a nice way of Google letting us know that they're taking accessibility seriously and that they're really incorporating what we need as a community into the system. So the current version of Android is 4.4, and it's called KitKat, like the candy bar. So, in fact, when it was released last year, you could get a coupon on your candy bar wrapper, on your KitKat wrapper, to get to buy Play Store apps and so on. Very cool. All right. So one of the accessibility improvements introduced in 4.4, which would be of interest to our deaf and hard of hearing users, is closed captioning. So that's a great thing. And we also had more improvements to web views. The next version of Android is called L. We don't know what dessert it's being it's going to be linked with. Where, you know, there's a lot of speculation. It could be lollipop or licorice, or I think right now a lot of people are thinking it's Lion Bar or lemon meringue pie. But I'm with lollipop myself. Yeah. Okay. So some of the improvements to L are even better improvements to web views. People who are using beta versions of or preview versions of L are saying that the web views really do work much, much better, and they're pretty much solid now. We have color adjustment for people who are low vision and who have color blindness. So this means we have contrast now, and we also have other ways to adjust color. And certain custom views are going to be easier for TalkBack to deal with. Sometimes we have a window that overlays another window. And so at this point, TalkBack can only read one of those, either the one on top or the one on bottom. But in L, TalkBack will be able to read both of them. And TalkBack users will be able to move from one window to another. It sounds like things are not going to be perfect because of the way controls work in these windows. But this is a nice change because TalkBack sometimes hangs and you know, you're not able to say sign into something with those overlays. Let's move on to the next slide. So accessibility services handle the basics. All right, what accessibility services does TalkBack offer? Correction. What accessibility services does Android offer? Well, for blind and low vision users, probably the most interesting or obvious is TalkBack. And that's the screen reader. It provides spoken feedback. Another accessibility service is Explore by Touch. And that actually used to be a completely separate service. In 4.0, TalkBack and Explore by Touch were separate. Now Explore by Touch is part of TalkBack. But you can turn it off. Explore by Touch is your ability to touch the screen. Now notice this is different, right? Usually, the most obvious example we're all thinking of is Apple and iOS. When you turn VoiceOver on, you automatically turn on the ability to touch the screen. In Android, you can have these separate. So you can run TalkBack without any kind of screen interaction support, or you can run them together. So Explore by Touch is what enables us to touch the screen and select buttons and activate them. All right. Screen magnification. And this allows low vision users to zoom in on things and zoom out. BrailleBack. This doesn't come installed on your phone. You need to go to the Play Store and get it. It's free. And it you need to run it with TalkBack. And it gives you the ability to use a Braille display. It only supports a small number of Braille displays. I want to say about 6 or 8. If you're interested, you can go to the Play Store, the BrailleBack page, and read the list of supported Braille displays. Right now, you can read grade 2 or contracted Braille, but you cannot input in contracted Braille. You need to input in computer Braille. Braille in web views is sketchy. It's actually improved. Android has changed its way of handling web views. They're handled through Chromium, which incorporates some Braille support. And but it's not. It doesn't work everywhere. So Android is not a good choice yet for deafblind users because they lose Braille support in certain areas, like in the book reading app and so on. Okay, and then we have Just Speak. This provides accessibility to people with motor impairments. So when Just Speak is turned on, you say things like tap apps, and when apps comes up, you can say scroll down to move to the second page of apps, and then you can say tap Facebook, things like that. And Just Speak is also not pre-installed on your device. You need to go to the Play Store to get it. Now, all of the apps listed on this slide, TalkBack, TalkBack, BrailleBack, and JustSpeak are separate accessibility services, and you find them in the Settings Accessibility menu on your device. Screen magnification is a checkbox on the Settings Accessibility menu. And Explore by Touch is a checkbox in the Settings Accessibility TalkBack Settings menu. So you'll find everything all there for you to play with. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, Combine to Customize. All right, so you can think of accessibility as the erector set approach. You can think of Android accessibility as being an erector set. So, you know, you choose the parts you want. You don't need everything. If you don't need everything, you don't have to have it. So, if maybe I've got some sort of perceptual disability, like I'm dyslexic, I want spoken feedback, but I don't necessarily want touch exploration. So I can turn TalkBack on, and that's it. I can still use standard gestures. I can look at the screen, whatever. Now, if I'm blind, I'm going to turn on TalkBack. I'm going to turn on Explore by Touch. And I'm going to go to the Play Store and download BrailleBack so that I can use it with my Braille display. Now, if I'm a low vision user, I may want TalkBack, depending on how good my vision is or how long I've been low vision. So I may want TalkBack on, and I may want screen magnification on. I may want both so that I can rely on TalkBack when it's convenient, and I can use screen magnification when it's convenient. But maybe I haven't been low vision very long, and I feel a little self-conscious about TalkBack, and my vision is still pretty good, but this large fonts and screen magnification will do it for me. I can just have that without TalkBack. So the beauty of TalkBack of Android is that I can pick and choose what I want to meet my accessibility needs. And this is a different approach. I think in the blindness community, we're used to getting a package of features, and we may or may not use them all. But, you know, we've kind of gotten used to knowing we have them and expecting them to be available to us. But Android doesn't think that way at all. Android is about making your device yours, so you pick and choose what works for you. It's not a package. You create the package. All right, next slide. Learn a little, do a lot. Okay, so Android has a relatively few accessibility services. The ones I listed are pretty much it, plus the closed captioning now. So you don't have a lot to mess with. You pick what you want. If I only want TalkBack, I don't need BrailleBack, I don't need this magnification, I don't need any of that. So I can just choose what I want. And each service only has a relatively few commands or settings. So TalkBack has maybe two screenfuls of setting, and sometimes the Android community gets up in arms and they want more features. And the Google developers respond by saying things like, but we already have a lot of settings on there. So, you know, Android is about keeping things slim and pared down. We don't have a lot of settings for things. And we don't have a lot of gestures. For TalkBack, I'd say we have maybe 12 gestures to learn or so. You know, we can swipe with one finger or two. We can swipe vertically or horizontally. We can single tap, double tap. We make L-shaped gestures, you know, right angles that go up and to the right or up and to the left, down and to the right, down and to the left, that sort of thing. And we make circles, and that's pretty much it. And, you know, people used to other operating systems or other platforms find this a little too little, you know, and they complain about not having gestures for all this other stuff. But again, Android's about keeping it really simple. And, okay, next slide. Third-party apps handle additional features. Okay, so so the basic ability to hear what's on the screen, to interact with the screen, to see what's on the screen, that's handled by the accessibility services that Google provides. Now, other things are handled separately. So most Google Apps are accessible. And accessibility problems with Google Apps tend to be minor. There might be an occasional button here and there. For example, in the Google Messaging app, there's an unlabeled button, and it's for the profile of the person that is texting you, basically like their contact info. So it's not the screen reader's job to label the button for you. You do, if you have a newer version of Android, you can label your button. But you can't complain about accessibility, about TalkBack not doing its job if that button is unlabeled. As a community, what your job is to do is to contact Google Accessibility to tell them to label the button or to contact the developer of an app, that kind of thing. So most Google apps are accessible. They're all usable. So you can use the stock apps that come with your device and not use anything from the Play Store. I tend to use stock apps myself just because, I don't know, because they work, basically, and they meet my needs. Okay, some other additional features come from third-party apps. So one thing that a lot of new Android users want is, the screen curtain. So they, again, think that TalkBack should provide that, but that's a separate app in Android land. So let's go to the next slide, examples of third-party apps. So the first example I have there is shades, and that's equivalent to the screen curtain. It darkens the screen. So again, if you think that's an important accessibility feature, you can get an app that does that. You can also accomplish the same thing by turning your screen brightness down. Or if this is not an important thing to you, you don't need it. Another solution to another example of a third-party app that handles accessibility needs is the situation with Google Maps. Now, Google Maps is accessible. I use it all the time for walking routes and driving routes. But some people find the interface confusing. So there are a couple of apps that basically tie into Google Maps and provide a more user-friendly, blind user-friendly interface. One is Walkie Talkie, and it's actually by the Google Accessibility people. It's by the Ice-Free team. And it basically is a more user-friendly interface to Google Maps, and it defaults to walking directions. It also includes a little bit of extra, so as you're walking around, you can hear the addresses you're going by. And that's really useful if you're new to an area and you're getting close to your location and you want to find the place you're looking for. Another alternative to Google Maps is GuideDroid, and it's by the Ideal Group. And so this also is a more list-oriented interface for Google Maps, so that blind and low vision users can, enter their information and locate it more quickly. Another example of a third-party solution to something that accessibility users might think is part of accessibility itself is the text-to-speech engine. So Google has a text-to-speech engine. Some people like it, some people don't. I happen to like it. She sounds a little cranky sometimes, but so do I, so we're good. And but if you don't like that voice or that engine, you can get other engines. You can get Acapella, you can get Evona, you can get Eloquence. There's another one called Voxygen. So there are different speech engines that you can get, and each engine has different voices, different genders, different ages, different languages. So you can change the system language and find a text-to-speech engine that speaks your language and use Android in whatever language you want. So again, I think as a community, we're used to thinking of these different voices as being part of the screen reader. But in Android, they're separate from the screen reader itself, so you can change that. All right, so let's change slide to reasons for this approach. All right, so again, users use the features they want. So they can build an Android environment that suits them. And you can summarize that in as your Android is not my Android. So if you get two Android users in a room, they're not going to set up their devices the same. They'll have probably different speech engines, different speech rates, different apps, different settings, different accessibility services. And Android likes that. Without going too deeply into the whole Android versus iPhone debate, iPhone users want to turn on their device and just have it work. Android users want to turn on their device and make it their device. And in Android, you can customize just about anything. So it's a whole different philosophy. All right. So let's go ahead and move on to the next slide. Google's approach to things is different. And this is true about accessibility. And so the Google way of doing things sometimes is a little exasperating to new users, especially new users who are used to doing things a certain way. So one example of this is the right angle gestures. Now, there are certain functions that are very basic to the phone. Going back to the previous screen, going home to the home screen, and going to recent apps where you can go through a list of the apps you've used recently and jump to another app. It's basically a kind of app switcher. Now these are buttons that are at the bottom of the screen, so they're always available and you can use them at any time. Some people find these buttons, not all that exciting or not all that usable for whatever reason. And so we can go back home and to recent apps by making different right angle gestures on the screen. And so so it's not by tapping or swiping or doing something predictable. It's a right angle gesture, gosh darn it, you know? And notifications is another thing that Android users go to a lot. To get there, you touch the top of the screen and swipe down with two fingers, or you can use a different right angle gesture. And we have two context menus in Android. One is the global context menu. It takes you to commands like read from top, repeat last utterance, spell last utterance. And so the other one is the local context menu, and it leads you to options like text selection and cursor control, or changing with granularity. And to get into those context menus, we use a right angle gesture, but we also use circle menus, which drive some people up the wall. They just do, and it's kind of funny to hear their complaints on the iFree list. So basically, once you make your right angle gesture, you draw a circle. And when you hear the option you want, you lift your finger to select it. Sometimes you have to draw yet another circle too. For example, if you change granularity, then you might have to draw another circle to select text or something like that. We also have two-part gestures, which are kind of unusual. You slide up and down or slide left and right with one finger. It's a very quick, scrubby gesture. And they're basically for scrolling or for moving the cursor. You can reset one of the two-part gestures to change granularity. Some people like doing that. All right, so let's move on to the next slide, which is Google's approach to most things is different in general. So now it's not just that Google likes to torture poor, pathetic, blind people. You know, Google just does things differently. So examples of different approaches to things that Google does outside of accessibility are that some of the apps have unusual controls. For example, if you are in the calendar app and you're setting an event, one way to set the date, well, actually the only way to set a date is to find it on a calendar grid. So you double tap the date, and then to set the time, you get a circle. It looks, I think it's supposed to look like a clock. And so for blind people, basically we double tap on this, and then we slide our circle, our finger around in a circle, lifting it when we get to the correct time. So that's just unusual in general, and in the past you would just enter the information into edit fields, but Google has decided to get kind of groovy there. Another example of Google's unusual approach to things is the fact that in Google you can change the default way of doing things in just about every situation. You can change the default home screen to a number of home screens that you can find on the Play Store. You can change the background colors actually the color theme, so it's not really like a contrast or anything like that. For low vision purposes, a lot of the themes are not all that useful. You can change your Twitter client, your Facebook client, your Skype client. You can change your text editor, your TTS engine. You can change just about anything. And Android users totally love that. And that's really unusual. Even Windows, which gives you a lot of flexibility, doesn't allow you to change default apps for a lot of things. Your email reader, a lot of things like that. In Android, if you're an end user with programming skills, you can develop your own app and put it on the Play Store for free or for a price. Or you can find somebody else's open source app and add to it, or contribute patches, or fork it and make your own thing. So Android is a very community-oriented kind of operating system. Very adaptable, very flexible. Okay, so let's move on to the next slide, things to do with Android. Now, when people are learning to use, are considering the crossover to Android, they want to know what exactly Android can and cannot do. And they always ask, so what does Android do? I mean, these are the things I want to do. And Android is a smartphone, so it does what smartphones do. You can obviously send and receive calls, manage your contacts, send text messages, send and receive. You can use social media like Facebook and Twitter and Skype. You can send and receive email. You can also send and receive Exchange. The stock email app is accessible, but not all phones come with it, so I'll talk about that in a minute. And a few other accessible email readers do Exchange mail for work. You can use the calendar, set appointments, reminders, etc. You can browse the internet. You can use book readers. Google Play Books is accessible. Not all books are accessible, but most are. The book needs to be flowing text to be accessible. If the book says it's a PDF style book, it is not accessible. But you can't use Braille in Play Books yet. Other book readers that are accessible are Nook by Barnes & Noble, and Kindle by Amazon. There's also the Blio reader for Android. And let's see. There are Daisy readers for Android. Go Read is a Bookshare app which is accessible. I believe Learning Ally has an Android app. I haven't tested it yet. And there is a Daisy reader by an open source project, and I believe the Ideal Group has a Daisy reader as well. So you can read Daisy content and Depop, of course. There are other apps. I mean, there are apps for just about everything. I have a religious calendar app. I have a penal code app. I have a collection of prayers online. Let's see what else. I have make a Santa's list kind of app. I have a to-do app. I've got a lot of things. So you can find apps for just about anything. A lot of them are accessible, but you have to do some trial and error because some work better than others. There are some games. I'm not a big gamer, so I'm not the best person to talk about this, but I know that Dice World has come to Android, and we have a few other games. Audible Archery is on Android. So we have a lot we can do, and I just used the word Audible. The Audible book subscription app is on Android as well. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Things to be aware of in Android. Okay, So Android accessibility is I think, a very good option for us. I think that Apple is still slightly more polished in one or two areas, but I think that the gap between the two operating systems is very small, and I think it is a viable alternative for us, both for a personal device and for a work-related device. But there are a few things we need to be aware of. Updates don't work in Android the way they work everywhere else. Everywhere else in Windows and Apple and Mac, when the update comes out, it's out, and everybody gets it at more or less the same time. In Android, updates come to some devices, but not others. And if you get your device through a carrier, like through AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile or Sprint, you have to wait for the carrier to do what it needs to do before you get your update. So Google, let's say that Google releases L around Halloween. We don't know that, but that's the rumor at the time being. And so you may get your update within a week or two, or you may get it in February. It just depends on what device you have, whether it's scheduled for update, whatever. So the Nexus line is the line that runs pure Android, and it gets it gets updates right away, and it offers the best accessibility experience. So this would be like the Galaxy Nexus, which is no longer, the Nexus 5, that kind of thing. So if your device, your tablet or your phone is a Nexus device, you're going to get the purest Google experience. It'll probably be the best Android experience, and you'll get your updates pretty soon. All right. Newer Samsung devices, actually, before I do say that, I'll explain that. So the Nexus devices run the pure Android experience. Other manufacturers like to personalize their phones a little, make them unique, make them stand out, so the customer will say, I want an HTC phone, or I want a Motorola phone, or I want a Samsung phone. I want this phone because it's got these extra bells and whistles. The problem is that some of those bells and whistles interfere with accessibility. Now, Samsung is an example of a company that's really turned around in terms of accessibility. Their phones have always been fairly accessible, but in early Android, they did tinker with accessibility a bit and interfere with it. But the newest Samsung phones have a layer called TouchWiz. That's their customization of Android. And the newer versions of TouchWiz have actually extra accessibility features. So you can, if you're a low vision user, you can get color contrast right now on some Samsung devices, some newer devices. And some newer Samsung devices also have like a triple click home to toggle accessibility feature. So some people really like that. Samsung, some people actually say that the Samsung phone is a better accessibility experience than Google. So that's something you want to check out. If you've tried Android and you like it, but you wish there was a little more, you can try a newer Samsung device, like a Samsung 4 or Samsung 5, and probably the ones that are slated to come out. So as I said, some brands modify the interface and they affect accessibility. I think most brands have become more aware of the problems with accessibility, so they don't really tamper with it as much as they used to. But the bottom line is that if you're thinking about getting a particular device, go to the electronics store or to the phone store and play with it a little to make sure that accessibility works, that the dial pad has labeled buttons and that you don't have to double tap on, say, the keyboard when you're typing or on whatever it is. So you want to play with it a little bit. And the last thing to keep in mind is that Braille support is not quite polished yet in Android. There are places where Braille doesn't work, and though it's improved, it still needs a little polish there. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. Things to know about Android when new to Android. Oops, misspelled the word new there. Okay, so I prepared the slide for the people who are thinking of trying Android and they're not sure what they're getting into, or they're very comfortable and used to another operating system. This could be Apple, this could be Nokia. They're still using their old Symbian phones and they really like that and they don't want to go out of that to something new or whatever. So here are some things to know. If you're used to another touchscreen interface, Android gestures are faster and involve a lighter touch. So I know how to use an iPhone. I sometimes use it to translate apps. And the way you touch an iPhone is different from the way you touch an Android. The Android is relatively fast and relatively light. And if I try touching the iPhone in the same way, things don't work very well. And if I try touching the Android phone the way I touch an iPhone, things don't work very well. So you need to learn to touch the screen to get the best results. In Android, documentation is short and sweet. You get some really basic instructions, basic information. But that's true of accessibility, but it's also true of anything. If you read the official user's guide for the Nexus, it covers the basics. It's more of a getting started guide. And you kind of discover other things on your own or through discussion lists or forums. So a lot of people complain about the lack of documentation. That's just kind of the Android way. It gives you the basics and assumes that that's enough to get you going and you'll figure the rest out on your own. So if you're learning to use an Android, and I want to say that I had the same experience when I was learning to use the iPhone as well. Expect about 2 weeks to learn the basics. And expect about 4 weeks to really get comfortable with it. So, I did a lot of fumbling and swearing for the first couple of weeks, but then I could get the basics done. I could answer the phone consistently, place calls, blah, blah. And then after about 4 weeks, I was experimenting and doing new things. And so I think that's typical. It's a learning curve. Probably the longest thing to learn is to use the on-screen keyboard. I think it took me a couple of months, maybe 3 or 4, to really feel comfortable with it and to type more quickly. I'm not a very fast on-screen typist. I use voice dictation if I'm going to type more than a couple of sentences. But, now I can type in the car on a bumpy road and I'm fine. In fact, I did it last night. Okay, and the last point here is don't expect what you're used to. So comparisons get you nowhere. And I think that's true anywhere. It's a different operating system. It has a different philosophy. It does things in its own way. It has some features that you didn't have before, and it doesn't have features you're used to. So you just have to accept it's a whole different planet, a whole different universe, and that's what you got to work with. And that's true in other areas. I'm a JAWS user, and I'm an NVDA user, and I'm still not as proficient with NVDA as I would like, partly because I keep thinking, I wish it would do this JAWS thing. And I'm finally at the point with NVDA where I'm no longer thinking that, which is good, but I know that part of the reason I don't do well with NVDA, as well as I would like with NVDA, is that I'm making that mental comparison. So, in Android, don't don't compare to what you're used to. If your goal is to learn the operating system, put the other device away, you know, and just go cold turkey. That's really the only way to go. Okay, next slide. Android accessibility resources. So Google has a couple of resources that are useful. And so the first one I have listed here is the Android Accessibility Help page. And that's the official help. And the second one I have listed is some general information about Android accessibility. And as I said before, the information is short and sweet. It doesn't go into a lot of detail. For example, it doesn't cover all of the talkback gestures, but it covers enough to get you started. And if you want to know more talkback gestures, what you want to do is go into Settings, Accessibility, Talkback, Settings, and then scroll down to near the bottom of the set of options to an item that says something like Touch Exploration Tutorial. And so the phone will or tablet will talk you through the gestures. It'll say like you can explore the screen when you find what you want, tap on it, and so you do that. And then it'll teach you how to swipe, and it'll teach you how to use the context menus and things like that. So it'll walk you through the complete list of gestures. And other gestures are in the TalkBack settings because you can adjust them. So if you have trouble with one right angle gesture, you can set it to something else. So you can go and find out what the gestures are that way. And the third official Google resource for getting help is the Eyes Free Android discussion list. It's a Google group. It is very busy. There are over 100 messages a day, and sometimes as many as 200. So if you're going to be on that list, you probably want to filter your messages to go into a specific folder, otherwise you'll have chaos. And this list isn't really moderated, but because you know Google is a free environment, it's all very free and wild, and I like it. But Eyes Free developers are often on the list, and when there's, say, a new version of TalkBack to test, they post it to the list so people can try it and provide feedback. And so they do read the list occasionally. All right, let's go on to the last slide. Actually, yeah, it is the last slide, okay. And it's other Android accessibility resources, and these are from the community. Now, one thing that you want to keep in mind, Android is, like as I said before, a very different kind of environment. It's where people are, it's very flexible, it's very open, it's very community-based in its heart. To some degree, the community is part of the platform. It contributes by developing apps, by aggressively providing feedback to developers. So, you know, if I'm having a problem with an app because it's not accessible, I feel it's my job to contact the developer and politely explain what's going on, what I'm having trouble with, and how what they can do to make it easier. Maybe they could label the buttons or something like that. And I do it partly to make my own life and my own experience with the app easier, but partly to help the community. If it's labeled properly from the developer's end for me, other blind users will be able to enjoy the app as well. So there are some resources that are made by the community for the community. Now the first one is my blog. Hold on a second, we need to make that stop. Okay. And my blog is accessibleandroid@wordpress.com. That's my new blog. I've suddenly got a lot going on in my life, so I'm not very good about posting. But I do have a few basic tutorials there, and my intention is to post one or two things a month. There's another new site that's also community-driven. It's called Inclusive Android. And this one is for other types of disabilities, not just blindness. So if you know somebody who has Android and has another type of disability and they want to comment on the accessibility of an app, they can do that. Third site is Android Vis, and that's also community-oriented. I think it's still under construction, but it should be available soon. And finally, we have That Android Show, which is a monthly podcast by Saratech. And we cover news that is Android-oriented. Some is general news, some of it is general news, and some of it is accessibility news. So you can find more information on any of these venues. All right, I think I'm almost out of time, so do we have any questions?
If there are any questions, please type them in the chat area and we will read the questions for the captioner. Also, you may email your question.
I know I said a lot, so maybe you have a question or a comment about experiences you've had with Android or things you're curious about if you're thinking of trying it.
Okay, we have a question from John. How do you get support for your device if there are so many different versions and types?
Even though there are a lot of different versions and types, there's a lot of similarity from device to device and version to version. I believe there is a Google support number. I think I'll post it on my blog. But for things like that, a good way to solve your problem is to do some Googling, Google your device and a few keywords for the problem you're having, or to post your question to the Eyes Free list or to some other discussion list, describing your problem and telling them what version and support you have. And the community is great about giving help.
Thank you. That was helpful. Luke has a question. Does rooting your phone help or hurt accessibility?
So rooting is when you gain certain administrative access to the device. Some people like to do it because they can. Some do it because they have some level of programming skill. It doesn't really hurt accessibility. We have a lot of people on the list who have rooted their devices, and they don't have any complaints about it. No one's ever mentioned that things are not accessible.
Okay, we have a follow-up question. Does an AT Act program, as an AT Act program, what type of device should you have in your device loan or demo programs?
I'm not really familiar with that program. I'm not sure I can answer that question.
The AT Act is the Assistive Technology Act. Each state has a group that is funded federally to provide information, oftentimes device loans. So it would apply to any device library. So what device or program should you have available on the Android platform, I assume he means?
Yeah, I believe that my understanding of that program is that any device you choose is subsidized to some degree by that. And so it really depends on what your carrier has to offer and what you like.
Okay, another question from Suzanne. What do you see as the next big thing coming up with accessibility on mobile devices?
Well, right now we're all excited about Android L. You know, the rumor is that it'll be released anytime between now and, say, the beginning of November, in time for the holiday season. And the accessibility improvements I described for L were discussed at this year's Google I/O input-output conference. And so we're all really looking forward to trying them and to using them. And we're hoping that once L is out and available to everybody, the next big thing will be better Braille support.
Okay. A question here that says she came in late and it was wondering if there is speech recognition software for the Android.
Yes, there is speech recognition. You can have it online or offline. So you can use voice dictation with Android, and you can also use what we call voice actions, which is something that's similar to Apple Siri. You can say things like send a text to Frank, how are you doing, send message, that kind of thing.
Okay, I'll give people another couple of minutes to type if there are any more additional questions.
Google Voice Actions is actually a very cool feature. Some people use it quite a bit, and they get a lot of things done. You still have to touch the phone for certain things. For example, if I use voice actions to send an email or a text message to someone, I need to review the text I've input with my finger, and I need to send the touch the send button. But if I'm using voice just speak, which is for motor impairments, I can do a lot more of that without touching the screen.
Okay. There's a question from Dominic about your inclusiveandroid.tk site. And it looks like when you go there, you get an odd message from the browser. So wondering if that is a typo on your thing or if that's an actual resource site.
I copied and pasted. I visited the site and copied and pasted. Maybe I made a mistake when I did that. That is a real resource, and I can tweet the corrected URL, I guess.
Okay, that would be useful for people. Is Google Voice an app that is an app from Google Play, or is it already installed?
Google Voice is an app that you would need to download from Google Play. I haven't used it myself, but I know other people do, so I know it's accessible and I know it works, and that's the app for making phone calls.
Okay. Are there any additional questions? Please feel free to type them in the chat area.
One thing I should probably point out is that when you buy an Android device, it comes with its own apps like the calendar and email and so on. Sometimes the apps that come on your device are not the official Google apps or they've been modified, especially if you are using a phone or device by a different manufacturer. And so it's a good idea to go to the Play Store and download the Google apps. Even if you're running the official Google apps, you need to go to the Play Store once and download them once to let the Play Store know you want updates. So, for example, the very first thing you want to do once you've gotten your phone up and running is you want to go to the Play Store and search for TalkBack and install it. That way you have the newest version. and the phone will tell you that you need to update when a new version comes out.
Okay, excellent. Excellent suggestion, Anna. Another comment, that is why rooting is so important. It helps you get rid of the bloatware that companies put on the Android.
Yeah, some companies do more bloatware than others. And some people actually like the bloatware because they find that the software is useful. I'm a Verizon customer, so Verizon has a few apps on there that are not official Android apps. But they're useful. One of them helps me manage my data. Another one helps me check my bill. So not all bloatware is badware. So some of it's useful.
Okay, excellent. I think if there are any final questions, now is your time to type them in the chat area. Otherwise, I would like to thank Anna for an excellent session. I personally learned a lot, not being an Android person. This was very informative. For participants, thank you for your attention during this session. You will be receiving via email an evaluation. Please take just a minute or two to complete that and give us some feedback on the session today and suggestions for future sessions. We do read each and every evaluation and take your thoughts and comments very seriously. The final session for our Accessible Technology webinar series is coming up in a couple of months on November 22nd. Please join us for that. It's on CART and captioning for web-based applications. And I think with that, we will conclude the session. Thank you, Anna, and thank you, participants.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.